So should we read 5 verses each, and then if we still have some, then we continue?
Okay.
Is that all right?
Can you just refresh your memories? It's 1 Kings, isn't it?
No, 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel.
Yeah, 1 Samuel, chapter 25.
Okay.
Who wants to read verse 1 to 5?
Okay, I'll read. The death of Samuel. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him, and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Beer. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and of evil in his doing. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name." At verse 6
to 10?
Yes, please.
I'll read, okay. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, "Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favour in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, unto thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from their master." Verse 11.
11 to 15, please.
"Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing." 16.
16 to 20, please.
I can read. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, Go on before me. See, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill. And there were David and his men coming down towards her, and she met them. 21?
21 to 25, please. Oh, yes, please.
21 to 25. Now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that his fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more also, to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears, and hear the words of your maidservant. 25 as well? Please let not your lord, my lord, regard this scoundrel Nabal, for his name is, and so he is, Nabal. His name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my lord whom you sent. 26?
Okay, I'll read 26 through 30. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now that this blessings which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, then shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Can someone read 31 to 35?
And master may not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed, or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed from your good judgment, and for keeping me from bloodshed this day, and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you have not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request.
Can someone read 36 to 40?
I'll read.
Okay, thank you.
And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after, that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Palti the son of Laish, which was of Galim.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a long story, yeah? Mm-hmm. But okay, this is about we're still in the book of the daughters of God, and we are in the life of Abigail. I'm just gonna read a few lines, a few stanza. Okay, a stanza. That's a song. Okay, Abigail was the beautiful, kind, and intelligent wife of Nabal, a mean and violent-tempered man. By her wise course, she was able to avoid much bloodshed when her husband treated David and his men with contempt. When David was a fugitive from the face of Saul, he had camped near the position of Nabal and had protected the flocks and the shepherds of this man. In a time of need, David sent messengers to Nabal with a courteous message, asking for food for himself and his men. And Nabal answered with insolence, returning evil for good, refusing to share his abundance with his neighbors. No message could have been more respectful than that which David sent to this man. But Nabal accused David and his men falsely in order to justify himself in his selfishness, and represented David and his followers as runaway slaves. When the messengers returned with this insolent taunt, David's indignation was aroused, and he determined to have speedy revenge. I think you can also find this in manuscript release 21:213-1891. One of Nabal's servants hastened to Abigail, the wife of Nabal, after he had dismissed David's young men, and told her what had happened. Behold, he said, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them, but the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. Without consulting her husband or telling him of her intention, Abigail made up an ample supply of provisions, which laid it upon asses. She went forward in the charge of servants, and herself started out to meet the band of David. She met them in a covert of a hill, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience." Abigail addressed David with as much reverence as though speaking to a crowned monarch. Nabal had scornfully exclaimed, "Who is David?" But Abigail called him my lord. With kind words, she sought to soothe his irritated feelings, and she pleaded with him in behalf of her husband, with nothing of ostentation or pride, but full of wisdom and love of God. Abigail revealed the strength of her devotion to her household, and she made it plain to David that the unkind course of her husband was in no wise premeditated against him as a personal affront, but was simply the outburst of unhappy and selfish nature. Before I go on, I want your thoughts on the story of this chapter.
What's the funny story, Maria? You know, I was thinking if it was today now, how would that be? Like, you know, obviously they must have been quite rich. First, verse 21, chapter 25, 1 in Prophet and King says, "A mistake realized. As the people constructed the course of Saul within with that of Samuel, they saw what a mistake they had made in desiring a king, that they might not be different from the nation around them." Remember, we talk about that sometimes, Disney King. Many look with alarm at the condition of society fast becoming leavened with irreligion and godlessness. The example of their ruler was exerting a widespread influence, and well might Israel mourn that Samuel the prophet of the Lord was dead. So it looked like only now they realize their mistake of asking for a king. But remember, they hardened the heart of the king before. And then Abigail, kind of this wise woman who came with all the good to remedy the situation or appease the situation. I wasn't sure, but the funny thing is the husband don't know because he was drunk.
I'm so curious on how or what exactly Abigail had said to Nabal on that moment after, on that morning after he had drunk the whole night. So after that, Abigail told her something. So I want to know what exactly she told him for him to be on the shock.
Maybe she said, "I've taken this all the things she took to David." Because the thing is, he didn't want to share. David sent his men to ask for help for food and things.
It could be like that, because it seemed like Abigail has this really like a strong woman to do that, to go on, because it could be she could be a bad will happen to her if she go to someone that she doesn't even but think she heard her, because she mentioned some sling, so she must have heard her before during those times when David killed Goliath with the sling.
It's one of these stories that unless you try to analyze it word for word. You just see a straight story happening, you know?
Mm.
But it's like, what's the character of Nabal? He's probably one of them. Maybe he sees himself as working hard, accumulating all the wealth and his cattle and whatever.
Mm.
And then why should you share? You know, he's a king or not. So the other aspect would be Jesus asking us to share. Jesus as a king. And we can say why, you know, as well. Like the simple thing of tithes and offering, actually. You know, 1/10% of whatever we earn. Could be, can draw that into it if you try to break it down more and more.
I see, looking differently, I see characters, I see actions, I see belief and reasoning in there. Now you are Nabal, you are David and his men, Nabal and his men, David and his men, and Abigail, right? Three persons, and look at how they acted into a situation like this. Why was Nabal wanted to kill or wanted insulted David so much? Because he was wrong, he was drunk, right? And when he was drunk, he doesn't know what is good, what is bad. David thinking he was going to have some favor while Nabal is. It's one of the festivals that they do with the lamb, and they share the lamb and the cook or whatever it is, and you know. Then he thought he was going to have some help. He went there to ask for the help. But what did he get?
Insults.
But Nabal undermined the power of a person as David. When he was so rude to David, what did the man say? He said, we're going to destroy all of them. Not a man from his is going to live. The revenge. And who heard the revenge? Now there was a war building up. But Abigail heard it. And she is the one who intervened.
Mm. Okay, anyone else, or I will continue. Okay, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Abigail did not take to herself the credit of this reasoning to turn David from his hasty purpose, but gave to God the honor and the praise. She then offered her rich provision as a peace offering to the man of David, and still pleaded as if she herself were the one who had so excited the resentment of the chief. You can also find this Patriarch and Prophets, page 665 to 666, 1890. Although Nabal had refused the needy company of David and his men, yet that very night the man made an extravagant feast for himself and his riotous friends, and indulged in eating and drinking till he sank in drunken stupor. The next day, after the effect of his drunken debauch had somewhat passed away, his wife told him of how near he had been to death, of how the calamity had been averted. As he listened, he realized what a course of evil would have resulted but for Abigail's discretion, and terror filled his heart. Pulsed with horror, he sat down and never recovered from the shock. Oh, now I understand. Abigail describe Abigail told Nabal that if she didn't went to David, there will be a bloodshed, a war that will going to happen. So that must have been made him very frightened, make him frightened or whatever.
Because in a sense, it was a bit like Nebuchadnezzar, no? Because in a sense, verse 36 says, Abigail went to Nabal, he was holding a feast, like Nebuchadnezzar holding a feast and drinking from the golden goblet when they were attacked. Just wonder, parallel stories to this. In this example of the of David in verse 35. So I have received from a hand what she has brought him, and said to her, go up to your feet, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person.
What Abigail have done is like she was the one who gave a peace offering or something, like she went to have like a conversation to stop the war that is about to happen.
Sorry, you guys saying something. I want to take us back to verse 23, when Abigail first intervened. I note that it is very interesting. She fell at his feet and said, my Lord, let the blame be on me alone. So she took over herself the iniquity of Nabal by presenting herself to David. That's my first point. Then, please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. You see, so she comes in a way of recognizing iniquity. Right? And then we also saw how she really acknowledged David for what David had done and recognized how David walked with God insofar as God had spared David. You see? And then come to verse 35. My verse says, after David had listened, then David accepted from her hand what she had brought and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your requests. And the request of Abigail was to spare her people. You see? And also, if you like to spare her people and to spare David himself of bloodshed, because bloodshed is not God's way or God's ways. And we saw as the chapter unfolded to the end that God dealt with Nabal. David didn't have to lift a finger. This is the importance of women ministry. Having all this problem with women ordination, this and that, but God still uses women.
You can also see the how strong she is to go on this trip, knowing that it's not her, is out of her territory, and she went for to commune or to converse with David.
Yes.
She is a brave woman.
That's true also, yes. But you could also say she is a defender of the truth.
Mm.
Because she knew God's ways and could differentiate God's ways between men's ways and had the courage to defend God's truth. And we see that with this words vindicated by God himself acting upon Nabal. And we saw the story in terms of, you could almost say, the recompense of Abigail. But Abigail became none other than the wife of the king-to-be himself at the time. Because at the time, if I understand this correctly, David was not the king yet, because Saul was still pursuing. I mean, had been anointed, yes, but had not taken position, because Saul was still around.
Hmm. Should I continue? Just a few lines now.
A minute, Marianne.
Okay. From this history, we can see that there are circumstances under which it is proper for a woman to act promptly and independently, moving with decision in the way she knows to be the way of the Lord. The wife is to stand by the side of the husband as his equal, sharing all the responsibilities of life, rendering due respect to him who has selected her for his lifelong companion. I think you can also find this in manuscript release 21:214-215, it might be the page, 1891. The Lord would have the wife render respect unto her husband, but always as it is fit in the Lord. In the character of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, we have an illustration of womanhood after the order of Christ, while her husband illustrates what a man may become who yields himself to control of Satan. Manuscript release 21:213-1891. That's all.
There's another comment from Prophet and King 667, from chapter 10, verse 24-31. That Abigail be keeping, maybe we've done it. These words could have come only from the lips of one who had partake of the wisdom from above. The Spirit of the Son of God was abiding in her soul, a speech seasoned with grace and full of kindness and peace, shed a heavenly influence. Better impulses came to David as he trembled as he thought of what might have been the consequences of his rash purpose. So he had gone and attacked and killed her. So wisdom also came into play.
I just want to also end that point that there was a definite divide between them, because even in the old days, they were using grape juice for wine, not fermented.
Yes.
Not fermented drink, yeah? So obviously, he had a personality or character or whatever that would seek out the things that God would not approve of. Mm. Even though she was married to somebody who did that, she still I'm sure we discussed this as well, that she still chose to honor God. And then God actually looked after her. Because the outcome, you know, if God didn't intervene, who knows what Nabal could have done.
Yes, that's true. So,
yes. You know, the effect of the alcohol, even though the Bible says that the alcohol had worn off the next day, these people, we know them, we know how they behave, and sometimes it goes on and on and on, you know. Mm. So we don't know what she even had suffered at his hands in a home.
I was thinking that, like, domestic abuse, our term, modern term.
We don't know what had happened. The Bible doesn't say what had happened in their home. But she obviously acknowledged God and his ways. And, you know, God says, my ways are higher than your ways.
Mm.
And she acknowledged that. And she got the blessing from God. The other thing is that if somebody is in your family and they are doing wrong, it seems to me that God doesn't have to put the burden of the punishment on the other people in the home. You know, he can deliver.
Mm. Interesting analogy. Yeah. Just one final from me, guys. I just also want to look at in terms of the significance of God using women, in this case, Abigail. In verse 32, having listened to everything that she said, look at David's acknowledgement. David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today evening. You see, so the thank you did not come direct to Abigail, but to God, the recognition. And that's also a very significant part. When we see in our modern day when God is using women, but women who will come and who will speak the word of God, and then may you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. So her action led David to recognize what he was doing was not led by God. For he said, from avenging myself with my own hands. And he also said, otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you. You see, and that's direct to Abigail. You, not your people, you. If you had not come quickly to meet me. Which means that when there are things that we have recognized and God impresses on our minds to do it, if we heed the example of Abigail, there is no procrastination. It's to come quickly so that not one belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. That is very, very significant in terms of rash judgment.